Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles over here in Mark chapter 11. Notice here what Jesus said here in Mark chapter 11, being in verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Then Jesus went on to say, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever saith this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that's a full-time job for us to monitor what we're thinking about and what we're saying. And we need to listen to the words that come out of our mouth. If we're going to walk in victory and live in the blessings of God and enjoy the provisions and benefits that Jesus bought and paid for when he went to the cross, we need to always renew our mind to God's word and keep God's word in our mouth. Remember, God said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it's always been a help to me and still is. The Lord said here, this book of law, we call it the Bible, shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe according to all those written there. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, how are we going to have prosperity and good success in your life? What Jesus bought and paid for and freely gave to us? Well, now think about this. Now, Jesus took the sins of the world. Amen? I mean, that's why we have John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, even though Jesus already taken the sins of the world, yet every day people are dying and going to hell. Now, why is it? They didn't receive what he did. Maybe they tried to think, well, it's not that important. You told them, you or whoever shared the gospel with them, and they just rejected it. You ever notice that when you witness people? Not everybody's receptive. Now, you can, you know, we need to keep believing God. The word doesn't return void in their life and stand in Jesus' name on God's word for them. But sooner or later, they'll have to receive Jesus Christ the Lord. And one way they could do that is just to do what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 said. Use those scriptures. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in the heart God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For at the heart man believeth righteous, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So what we're going to do with that person that's a sinner is try to persuade them as we witness to them that they need to receive Jesus Christ the Lord. And you could read them. You know, we've all done it one time or another. If you've done any witnesses, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Or you could take more of the Philippians, sort of saying the same thing. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through verse 11, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things in earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the glory of God the Father. So if you didn't use Romans, you could use this. Or we use both of them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And what you're going to do is try to get that person to confess Jesus Christ the Lord, to believe in the heart he's been raised from the dead, that he's Lord, and to confess them as their confess Jesus as their Lord. Now think about this. If they don't do that, even though Jesus already took our sins, even Jesus already took the curse, a spiritual death upon his life, when he went to the cross, the person will perish without Jesus simply because they didn't act on God's word. See, the scriptures that remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we receive salvation, the new birth, Jesus Christ the Lord, by faith or by acting on God's word in faith believing. Same as with healing. Same as with finances. Now, you know, if you've witnessed it, people, ministering to them the word, and what you're going to do is you're going to do all you can to, as you share God's word with people, to get them to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Healing's the same way. How many times have you shared healing scriptures with somebody and they rejected them? They'd bring up someone that they knew that had all the faith in the world, and God never did heal them, and they died believing that God was going to heal them someday. Or they'd let you know, well, our church doesn't preach that. We believe it's just if God can heal, if it's his will. You just never know what God would do. These things are up to God. You know, in other words, we don't have a choice in the matter. It's up to him. Well, what do you do with those people? Well, you keep praying for them. You know, do your part to walk in love with them. But just know that I'm just believing God. They're going to grab a hold of God's word in Jesus' name. I gave them promises. I showed them what the word said about divine healing. But nevertheless, you have people that reject divine healing. Just like you have Christians, they reject that God wants them to prosper. Well, it doesn't mean they're not saved. It just simply means that's part of their covenant that they're not receiving. they're rejecting. All because of a lack of knowledge or a lack of persuasiveness. You know, Caleb and Joshua, they tried to convince the people, let's go up at once and take the land in Numbers chapter 13 and then over in chapter 14. And those people had believed what God said until they heard something else. They heard there were giants. They heard there were walls. And they heard we're just grasshoppers on their side. Now, they believed God up to that point and got out of slavery and believed that God had given them this land that flowed milk and honey. But when 10 of the spies of the 12 told them, well, there's walls in that land, and there's giants in that land, and we're just grasshoppers in their sight, they believed something different then. They chose not to believe what God had said and chose to believe what people had said. Well, that's how it is in our life. We'll hear God's word, and we can choose to receive God, receive Jesus Christ, and receive salvation. We can hear about divine healing and choose to accept it, receive it, and enjoy it. Believe it and enjoy it by receiving it. Or we could reject it. I can remember that I grew up in church, and people later on, as I was a teenager, would come and talk to me about receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. Even went to a Billy Graham crusade. And people tried to get me saved. Well, I tell them, I go to church. And really lie to them, tell them I was saved. But you see, I hadn't exercised my will to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And there had to come a time in my life that I had to personally receive Jesus Christ as my Lord, just as everybody does. And if you grow up Protestant or Catholic, sometimes that's real difficult for you. Because you're thinking, well, first of all, I should have heard this in church. I mean, the church I grew up in, good people, you know, don't know anything bad about them, wouldn't want to know anything bad about them. But they just didn't, they weren't interested in receiving Jesus. They were just interested in more like a social gathering. It's kind of what I was, when they boil it down to, that's what it was. Well, when people talk to me about, have you received Jesus? They made me angry. They talked about being saved, by being born again. That upset me. And I just, to get them off me, I just lied to them and told them I was. They scared me. When you're religious and people talk to you about Jesus, you can get scared. Because you don't, you know, you're just suddenly, you got all this responsibility, and you realize it's up to you to receive Jesus. I guess I must have thought you live your life out, and when you die, you either go up or you go down. That's up to God. Didn't know there was a choice in here. Remember Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Well, the choice is ours. And God even told us there what to choose. He told us to choose life. And not everybody received Jesus, received Jesus' ministry in the gospel. You know, there in Mark chapter 6, we've been reading there from Mark chapter 11, but in Mark chapter 6, Jesus came back to his own hometown. And here he's been getting miracles other places where he's been ministering, and he comes to his own hometown, and there's no real spectacular supernatural miracles taking place. And the scripture says here, we'll pick up this in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The scripture says, and he, talking about Jesus, went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach the synagogue, and many hear him were astonished, saying, what's up this man these things, and what wisdom is given him? They didn't see his mighty works wrought by his hands. They're questioning. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Jude and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended to him. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but his own country, among his own kin, his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Now verse 6 says why? And he marveled because of unbelief and went about the villages teaching. People failed to receive what Jesus said. These people did because of their unbelief. Sometimes it was their religious traditions that kept them from receiving. I mean, if anybody that grew up in some kind of religious Christianity has traditions. You know, maybe we'd like to think we don't, but as you study God's word and hear God's word taught, you begin to find you got traditions in your own life that you think more of than you do what the scriptures say. For instance, you know, I grew up believing that I never even thought about it. You pray to God, pray to Jesus. You know, if you're Roman Catholic, you pray to Peter, Paul, and Mary, or anybody else who listened to you. Well, so I received Jesus, my Lord, on fire for God, got a Bible, going around toting this Bible with me wherever I'm going. so proud of it, so thrilled I finally got saved, telling people about Jesus. And I was at the airport one day for whatever reason was, and some Christian brother, I saw him coming. And he was just grinning ear to ear, so to speak. He was always a happy guy and still is. And he said, walks up to me and says, "Jesse, do you know how to pray?" Now, I'm born again, speaking in tongues. And I was insulted. Now, I act like I wasn't angry. I act like I wasn't upset. But he offended me. Asked me if I knew how to pray. I prayed before I got saved. And he said, and he reached into his lapel coat pocket, suit pocket, and pulls out this Gospel of John. And proceeds to read to me from John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. Where Jesus said, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." And this dear Christian brother said to me, who went to another church, he said to me, "You know, I didn't know that I was praying wrong until this morning when I was reading the Gospel of John." He talked about his Sunday school class had passed out this little Gospel of John, and I guess this month we're supposed to read the Gospel of John, and they provide, you know, not a whole New Testament, just the Gospel of John. I thought that was kind of weird, but anyway, he began to proceed to tell me that he's always prayed to God or prayed to Jesus or prayed to the Holy Spirit. And come to find out today, we're supposed to pray to God or the Father God in Jesus' name. I didn't know that. And I you know, even though he read me scriptures, I wasn't going to believe it. I thought to myself, God doesn't care how you pray, just as long as you pray. And he proceeded to talk to me for a little bit, and then he went his way, and I went my way. Well, when I got in my automobile, my van, I had my Bible there, and opened it up, and sure enough, John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24 said the same thing. Now, I don't know, the rest of the New Testament, whenever it elaborates about how they prayed, the church always prayed to God in Jesus' name. They never prayed to anybody else other than God. And if it elaborates on what they prayed to God in Jesus' name. Well, that made me angry that my Bible said the same thing as his. So I slammed my Bible shut. You know, it's disrespectful, thinking God doesn't care how you pray. See, I got tradition. I got religion. And I don't want to change, you know, because of pride. But then I got to thinking, you know, it seemed like I had more prayers answered when I was a sinner than I've been getting lately as a born-again child of God. And I realized what I'd believed wasn't scriptural. Now, maybe God had put up with it because he knew I didn't know any better. But what he did is he sent me his word to that dear Christian brother. And the brother had the word. I didn't. And I thought to myself, you know what? It's right because the Bible teaches this. And I made that change that day. Well, the point is, I did it reluctantly. That wasn't the best way to make the change. But nevertheless, I had to make the change. Now, it was hard on my flesh, hard on my pride, to lay aside that tradition, that religion, and to pick up the Word of God and go with it. Of course, today I'm thrilled with it. And many things that you heard from God's Word, you know, it may have upset you at first, like walking in love and forgiving that person. I got upset at somebody when I was in Bible school, and a Christian friend of mine, he said to me, "Now, you know, Rich, you know what you need to do? You need to forgive that guy." Oh, I was mad. And I knew I needed forgiving. That made me even madder. I thought to me it was his fault anyway. You know, he should be forgiving me or apologizing to me. Well, nevertheless, see, yeah, you know, the Word teaches forgive. So I had to apologize and ask the Lord, ask the Lord to forgive me, but ask that man to forgive me. And it didn't go over real well, but nevertheless, I knew I did what I had to do. You know, it's just best for you and I to just go with the Word. I want to encourage you, if you haven't checked out our website, we have great materials on there to help you out. Check it out at jesserichministries.com. Enjoyed being with you today. Look forward to seeing you next time. Remember, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.